All right, Fresh Life. Well, this weekend in our Summer Fruit series, we are so excited and blessed to be hearing from our Bozeman campus pastor, Rory Blake, everybody. Rory, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
We're glad to have you. I want to take a little time before we dive into God's Word just to get you to know you a little bit. Is that cool?
Yeah, totally.
First of all, walk us through these beautiful blonde people right here. In black and white, you can't even tell.
So we have my wife, which is just to the left of me. Right behind her is my son, Everett.
And your wife's name is?
Katie.
And she is wonderful.
Yes, okay. She is. So behind her we have Everett. And then in the very back is Nora. She's our oldest. And then in the car seat there with the bear is Sophia, our youngest.
Is your family, they're beautiful. Are they sponsored by Swiss Miss by any chance?
Not that I know
of. Do you sell hot cocoa for a living?
No.
Okay.
No.
Fantastic. Rory, how long have you been on staff at Fresh Life?
A little over a year.
Okay. A little over a year. And what's life like in Bozeman? How are you enjoying getting to know the city?
Bozeman is an awesome city. We really loved it. There's so much to do there and so many new things that we're kind of finding out and great restaurants.
You promised to introduce me to Old Faithful.
We'll do that.
Okay, fantastic. Sure. Now, Rory, I got a question for you. Just digging back into going a little bit further back. Can you answer me this question? Why at your wedding did you choose to spray all of the bridesmaids aggressively with glass? Because what I hear is that when you went ahead and threw the glass in the napkin...
It was supposed to be a napkin.
Okay.
Somebody forgot to grab it, so somebody found a car wash mitt.
Okay.
And so I put it in there, and the idea is you're supposed to break the glass, and I didn't want to, like, have to do it more than once.
And it's like the glass is broken into a million pieces, can never be put back together.
Yes.
So you and Katie are coming together in love,
right,
and can never be taken apart.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
That's the whole, it's a kind of a Jewish tradition, but okay, we thought it was kind of neat. So I was like, I'm making sure that I'm going to break this.
You went for it with gusto.
Yeah, and it shot out to the end. And
projectiles like a bomb.
Yes.
Like Tony Stark style.
Yes.
Into people's hearts.
I don't think it hit anybody's hearts.
Okay, that's good. Because in the magnet and the arc reactor, it just gets messy and expensive. But the good thing is you get to become a superhero.
Well, that didn't happen to me.
Okay, going back a little further, I'd like to ask you a question about who from your college years was Ed?
Ed. Wow. Okay.
Friend of yours?
Well,
maybe
no.
Roommate,
in a way, it was a roommate.
Fraternity brother. Sorority brother. I guess it wouldn't be a sorority brother.
No.
Tell me about Ed.
So Ed was the upper half of a dummy that one of my roommates had.
Okay.
And
a mannequin.
And so we used to play tricks on people. It was kind of the funniest thing, I guess, was my roommate had it in the back of his car, and one of the security guards at the college that we were at thought it was like a person that was dead in the back of his car.
Okay.
And so it was like trying to break into his car I don't know.
So true or false, after a scary movie on a Friday night, you put Ed into the back seat of a girl's car.
Oh, that
had no idea.
Yeah.
And true or false, she drove away and then looked in the rearview mirror and to only see a decapitated, armless mannequin and scream so loud the whole car shook.
That was probably actually the funniest.
Okay.
Because, she was like, and we just saw this car like shaking.
So you like to scare people. So we thought we'd investigate a little bit and find out if you had any fears that you could think of. We thought maybe you might like to put on this shoe with individual separated toes.
Those? No.
Does this make you comfortable or uncomfortable to see me? Because I hear you're deathly afraid of shoes with separated
weirds me out.
Will you shake my toes?
No.
Does this make you feel comfortable?
No.
Can I keep this on the rest of the interview?
What is this,
a size women's five? Goodness gracious. That's not going on any further from there. We'll just leave that right there. Rory, let me ask you this question. Can you think of any embarrassing moments from your time as a campus pastor? Would you like to check your fly before you answer that question? We can move right along. But it looks like you're safe today. So, Rory, what fruit of the Spirit are you going to be talking about in our Summer Fruit series this weekend?
Faithfulness.
Okay, faithfulness. And I'll tell you this, you are faithful, and we're so thankful for you and Katie. Fresh Life Church, let's hear it for Rory Blake as he comes to give God's Word.
Thank you. Thank you all. You can have a seat if you haven't already. I want to welcome you all. I'm stoked to be here today with you. I'm so honored, so humbled for the opportunity that Pastor Levi and Jenny have given me. So thankful for their leadership and Katie and I's life, and really their example of faithfulness. We can all agree with that and look to that as well. So I want to throw that out there as well. And you guys are so blessed, so lucky to have John Mark as your campus pastor here in the Strand. And yeah, guy's awesome. He's amazing. He's so amazing that, in fact, like the last O2 Experience tour, he wasn't there for the first couple stops. And so he sent out this email like, hey guys, this is what I do on each O2. It took three of us to do what he did. So yeah, some of us were there. Some of you were there. You're like, yeah, it was crazy. So that guy is a machine. He's awesome. And you are blessed to have him here as your campus pastor. Well, we are going to be talking about faithfulness. We're talking about Job and chapter 1, verse 13 through 22. You can begin to turn there now. But before we talk about Job's faithfulness, I had a question for y'all. Is there anybody here that is into CrossFit, that is a CrossFitter? Y'all are shy. Oh, we got a couple. Perfect. Some of you are shy when I ask that, but you're not shy on social media. I'll just throw it out there. So you own it, on social media, own it here. You do, no CrossFit. You guys are crazy, by the way. You kind of are. For those of you who don't know what CrossFit is, actually, I don't really know what CrossFit is. I'm not sure if it's like some weird cult or like a workout or kind of something in between. No, I'm just kidding. I love y'all. I tried CrossFit once. I found out that people that enjoy CrossFit seem to enjoy pain. And so I started doing this CrossFit workout. And I was with my friend. He was doing it. And he's like, you should come work out. And I was like, yeah, man, awesome. So I get about 1.5 times through the workout. You're supposed to do it twice. And like, I thought I was going to die. Like, I fell over on the ground. And I was just like, I was white as a ghost. And yeah, so I was like, dude, and my friend's like, dude, are you okay? And I'm like laying there on the ground. I was like, no, I just got a cramp, man. It's all right. I'll be with you. So he like finishes, right? And then he's like, okay, man, that was the warm up. Now I'm going to do the workout. And I was like, that was the warm up. So I got so angry with myself, right? That the next like couple days later, I gave myself some time to recuperate. And I came back and I was like, I don't care what happens. I'm like finishing the warm up. And I'm going to start the workout. Like, I don't care. But it was like the same exact thing, right? Like, me in the fetal position on the ground, like sucking my thumb, wishing that God would end this. And my friend's like, what's going on? And then I hurt myself the second time because I was, you know, just trying to prove that I could do it. But I couldn't. I had to throw in the towel. I was done. I was finished. I was out. But we're going to see here that Job didn't throw in the towel. He finished, and he finished well. So you can turn to Job chapter 1, verse 13 through 22, and we're going to be talking about Job's faithfulness. If you don't have a Bible, that's not a problem. We're just going to put the verses up on the screen, and you can follow along there. So chapter 1, verse 13. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing, the donkeys feeding beside them, when the Sabaeans raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven, burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels and took them away, yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you. There is a pattern here. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking in their oldest brother's house. And suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head. And he fell to the ground, and he worshiped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. Let's pray. Dear God, I pray that you prepare our hearts now. Lord, that you could show us that we can be faithful in pain, we can be faithful with much, and we can be faithful with a little. We love you. Amen. Well, I've titled this message, Last Man Standing. Last Man Standing. And, you know, it kind of accurately describes Job's life, I feel like. That phrase, last man standing, comes from World War I, where Germany, France, England, and the U.S. were engaged in trench warfare, and they had this no man's land. And basically, they'd gather up as many troops as they could. They'd make this charge across no man's land, and there would be just, like, machine gun fire that would mow them down. Artillery would blow them away. And it was basically kind of like, well, there's 100 of us, 100 of them. Whoever's left standing is going to win. And led to the phrase, it's the army that has the last man standing that usually wins the fight. Or I think of a boxing match or an MMA fight. It's the last fighter standing that has won that fight. If there's a KO, he's standing there, and his opponent isn't, he's won that. Well, Job was the last man standing. Job was the last man standing. In fact, you read on later, he even loses his health. But he's standing through that. And it's easy for us, to kind of read like we just did, right? And blow through that. And blow through the grief that is represented in these verses. You know, we can read those. It took us a matter of seconds. But in those verses, Job's life had totally changed. In fact, later on, it says that his friends came to, like, comfort him. And when they showed up, they didn't even say a word to him for 7 days because they just could see how brokenhearted he was. And so he was standing through that. He stood through that. He got that punch to the gut. And so many times, like, when we get those, or when maybe you've said this even, but we always like to say, well, don't worry. God only gives us what we can handle, right? I'm sure you guys have heard that phrase, or maybe somebody said that to you in the midst of heartbreak or heartache. And that phrase, while true, God is not out to get you. He is for you, not against you. But that phrase, it doesn't feel like that. It doesn't feel like, oh, well, good. I know that I can handle this because I can handle it. Oh, good. That's perfect. It feels like you got socked in the stomach. It feels like you can't breathe, that you don't know which way is up, that you don't want to face tomorrow, that you just want this to end. That's what it feels like. It doesn't feel like, oh, I know I can. I got this. Don't worry about it. Put more on. It feels like I can't handle this, and I don't want any more of this. And that's what Job is feeling right there. That's what he's feeling. We see that Job was faithful with a lot in Job 1, chapter 8. And that's why Satan says he is faithful. Because Satan's like, well, he has a lot. Of course he's going to be faithful. So he was faithful with much. God said, take that away. He's still going to be faithful. And he was. In Job 2, 9, he had nothing left. In fact, his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. Curse God and die. Like, oh, thanks, hon. Like, awesome. Do you want me to just die and curse God? Perfect. Perfect, right? Like, I just had all this happen, and now you're telling me that's the best solution for all of this, right? That's a wife fail right there. That's a wife fail. But, and this is the part I think we always like to think of in Job's life, is the end of his life, right? In chapter 42, we see that he was faithful with a lot again. We like to skip over, like, oh, it was bad, but then at the end, it was all good, right? And so he was faithful, however, in that, and he got more back, you know, more wealth, he got more children, but he still had loss, you know, it's not like his new children replaced his old ones, he still had that loss, but he was faithful in that. In fact, Job was just faithful. He didn't even know why this was happening. He didn't know that Satan went to God and said, well, if he's faithful with a lot because he has a lot, and God was like, test him. Job had no idea that any of this was going on. Job had no idea that at the end of the rainbow was a pot of gold. In fact, it didn't seem like a rainbow at all to him. It seemed like a path to destruction. And so he remained faithful with that. He remains faithful with that. Well, God defines a faithful person as one who will do according to what is in my heart and mind in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 35. What is in my heart and mind? So, that begs the question, what is in God's heart and mind? What is in God's heart and mind? Well, there's three things that I came up with. And if you're taking notes, you're going to want to write this down. And notes, by the way, are epic. You want to take those. Notes basically are storing up fuel to get you through the fire later, right? And so you want to be able to store that up today because you don't know what's coming around the bend. And you don't know, maybe something that you've written down today can be an encouragement to somebody in the future or encouragement to you. So if you're taking notes, like I said, it's a great thing. Number one, it's not how much, but what you do with it. It's not how much, but what you do with it. In other words, even a little can be a lot. Even a little can be a lot. Nowhere is that shown clearer than the widow in Luke 21. Jesus and the disciples were watching people give to the treasury of the temple, which is a great thing. People were being faithful in that. And there was a lot of people that had a lot, and they were giving out of their abundance, and they were making these big donations, these big gifts, and that was great. You know, people were celebrating that, and we should. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. And so they were celebrating that. They were excited for that. But then there's this widow that comes up. She gives two mites. Two mites, if you want to know, is about a 50th of a day's wage. 50th of a day's wage. So some of you are doing some math right now, like, so basically nothing. Basically nothing. Not a lot of money, right? Yet, she gave those two mites, and Jesus was amazed. Jesus was amazed. Why? Because she gave obediently with joy, and she gave out of her poverty. She gave out of her poverty. She gave with amazing faith. We're not evaluated based upon how much we have, but how faithfully we've used what we do have. How faithfully we used what we do have. Winston Churchill put it this way. He said, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. We make a life by what we give. So what kind of life are you making? What kind of life are you making? Being faithful and with money starts with, are you tithing? Are you tithing? It's not rocket science. It's a yes or no question. You don't have to pray about it. You don't have to pray about it. God's word clearly says to tithe. And so you can ask yourself, am I tithing? Am I tithing? Beyond that, are you being faithful by giving when and where given the opportunity? When and where given the opportunity? In America, we have over a third of the world's wealth is in America. We're the top 1% earners in the entire world. All of us here in this room. And some of you are like, well, it doesn't feel like I'm the top 1%. But I'm telling you, compared to people, to the rest of the world, we are blessed. We are blessed, right? And we are blessed to be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. The Jeremiah Study Bible puts it, how a person gives indicates how much of their heart belongs to God. Notice he says how, not how much, not how much. So many times we get consumed with the outward appearance of things, but God is digging deeper to what's going on inside, right? And he's like, how a person gives indicates how much of your heart belongs to Jesus. So are you giving? Are you giving with joy and obedience? Or are you giving out of guilt so you won't feel condemned? So you won't feel condemned. Because if you give out of guilt, that feeling of condemnation will never go away. Will never go away. We need to give with eyes of faith and give to the future. You titled this part 1B, Shake What Your Mama Gave You. You got to shake what your mama gave you, okay? That's 1B. We see that in the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25. There were three servants. There was a master that was going to go away for a while. Before he left, he lined up the three servants. And he said, okay, with you, I'm going to give you five talents. You're going to get two, and you're going to get one. And he was all, oh. But he got one. And so the one with five, he invested wisely and got a return on his investment, doubled it, got five back, so he had 10. The one that got two talents, invested wisely again, doubled it, got four total. And the servant with one talent, he was like, well, I don't have a lot of talents to risk, and I don't want to lose it, right? Like, I'm not going to lose it, so he buried it. But no risk, no reward. No risk, no reward. So the master came back, and the two servants that were faithful with their money by investing wisely, or faithful with their talents, excuse me, by investing wisely, he was said to them, well done, good and faithful servant. The one servant that just buried it, he was angry with him, and he took that away from him even and gave it to the servant that had 10 talents. So we see that that you can be faithful with, as you're faithful with what God has given you. And the talents here, not just money. They are maybe gifts that you have, abilities that you have, or time that you can be investing as well. And so they represent that, right? So when you think of a talent, think of not just money, although you should be investing your money as well into God's house. But as we are investing our talents, whatever that may be, God's word promises that when you are faithful with little, you will be given more. And maybe that means you will be given more money. I don't want to say that that doesn't, but it doesn't always mean that. It sometimes can mean more opportunities to use your abilities, more time to be given to furthering God's kingdom, to bless other people in whatever way that that works out. So as we faithfully give back to God what he has given us in the first place, not only do we get more, but here's the cool thing. We get to be a part of somebody's eternity being changed forever, right? It's somebody's eternity being changed forever. So that's a 2-for-1 return on your investment, and that is good investment right there, okay? So I was thinking about that. Like, okay, so the Bible says when somebody makes a profession of faith in Christ, that there's a new creation being formed. There's a new creation being formed right in front of our eyes. And so I was trying to think, like, what would that look like? And then it brought me back to when my oldest daughter was born, Nora, and man, that was like, it was magical, to be honest. Like, it was just awesome. Those of you parents, I'm sure you can remember when your firstborn was that day, you know, the time you heard them cry for the first time, and just how amazing that was. Little did you know how much crying was going to follow. But no, I'm just kidding. It was awesome. It was awesome. Like, I was stoked. Like, I was smiling. There was tears. There was, like, both at the same time. I was like, oh. And, like, I wanted people to, like, hold her, like, get pictures. Like, I was stoked. Like, I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. And I was, like, that made me think, like, I should be that excited when somebody gives their life to Christ, makes a profession of faith, right? Like that is the attitude that we should have. Not that, like, oh, hey, woo, like, but, like, whoa, holy, that just happened. Like, that is holy. Like, and that is awesome. And so we should have that attitude. We have that attitude. Well, granted, you know, like, our role that we get to play in somebody giving their life to Christ is, like, pretty small. Like, we just kind of, like, introduce people to Jesus and, like, or invite them to church. You know, God's done all the hard work. Jesus died on the cross, right? He paid for their sins. He's changing hearts. And that role that we play is kind of like the role that fathers play in pregnancy. Like I didn't really do much to, like, the pregnancy. My wife, like, she grew the baby, like, all that stuff. Like, us fathers, we kind of do the one thing that we think of all the time, you know? Like, and we're like, hey, that's our contribution. And like, that's kind of like, we're just like, hey, come to Jesus. Like, he's amazing. Like, come, you should invite, like, be inviting people to church, right? But the cool thing is, not only do we get to introduce people to Jesus, but after people are introduced to Jesus, we get an opportunity to be in their life as well, to help them grow. So you can be doing things like inviting them to serve alongside of you on whatever team you're serving on. And I want to say here today too that if you're new, welcome to you. You're in the right place. This isn't by accident that you're here. Maybe you're invited by a friend, but I want to say that I am incredibly excited that you are here. So you get a chance to invest in people's lives even after they give their life to Jesus by, like I said, inviting them to serve alongside you. Maybe invite them to your Fresh Life group. There's so many different things, opportunities that we have. Well, point number two is secret is to keep showing up. The secret is to keep showing up. It's been said, this is the secret to ministry, but really, it's the secret to life. It's the secret to life. Faithfulness is being present. It's being present. Being present in your marriage. You can be present in your marriage. The marriage relationship, faithfulness isn't optional. It's not an option. For there to be a healthy marriage, both spouses need to be faithful to each other. One spouse can be faithful and the other cannot be, and it won't be a very good marriage. It can still be a marriage. And I kind of liken marriage to an airplane, right, that's flying. And it has two engines. It has me on one side and my wife on the other. That we're making this marriage, like, fly, right? Like, we're putting in the work to make that happen. And when we're both, like, working, like airplane engines, like, that marriage is going to soar, right? It's going to reach the altitude that it is designed for, and it is going to, is great. When one of us cuts out, when one engine cuts out and it isn't working, the other one has to work a lot harder, and that airplane doesn't fly very well. You know, it can kind of fly, but it ain't going to fly the way that it was designed to. Now, if both engines cut out, that thing is going to glide for a little while, but it's going to crash and burn, right? It is going to crash and burn. And so you can be faithful in your marriage. You can begin again even now. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't always have to matter that your spouse maybe isn't or is faithful. You can do that now. You can be faithful with your kids. Faithful with your kids. So many times, it's easy for me. I get off of work. Not easy to be faithful with my kids, sorry. It's easy for me to just, like check out, you know? You get off work and you're like, oh, turn on the TV, check social media, you know, look on Netflix for 5 hours for something to watch. Like, and right there, you know, like, there is an opportunity for me, there's an opportunity for all of us to be faithful with our family, faithful with what God has given us. We can be faithful there. We can be faithful in our jobs. You can be faithful in your job tomorrow when you go in. You can be faithful. Maybe you are placed in your job for such a time as this, as Esther was, and you are there to be a light in a dark place, to help people who are far from God be close to God, to see those who are stranded in sin find life and liberty in Jesus Christ. And that is a job and an opportunity that God has given to you specifically. To you specifically. You can be faithful here in church. By being here, number one, you can be faithful by joining a team, you know, by being part of one of our amazing teams. And if you aren't serving on a team here in church, I just want to let you know, it's not because of lack of opportunity, it's because you haven't answered the call. And so there is an opportunity, and you can be faithful here at church, faithful to give, you know, like I said, your talents, your time, your money, abilities, gifts, all of those things to further God's kingdom here. But as you are faithful, there's going to be times of doubt in your life. There's going to be times of drought. There's going to be times where it doesn't make sense. There's going to be times where it doesn't make sense. We see this in Job. He felt this way. But you have to stick with it. You have to look with eyes of faith beyond what you see in front of you to what you know God has promised is beyond what's in front of you. And there is a series here that we went through a couple years ago called Bread and Circuses. I would recommend that to you. It is like it changed my life forever. Learning to live on another level, to live with eyes of faith. And I'm so thankful that that series that were preached years ago are mean something today. That God's word, who it was written over 2,000 years ago, it still means something today, that it is alive and that it can change lives today, and it will. But like I said, there's going to be times of doubt. You got to fight through that. You have to fight through that. Job chapter 3, verse 11, we see he felt this way. He felt this way. He says, "Why did I not die at birth? Why did I not perish when I came from the womb?" In 13, he says, "For now I would have lain still and been quiet. I would have been asleep. Then I would have been at rest." Or like the way the Message puts it, it's very similar, but a little bit different. He says, "Why didn't I die at birth, my first breath out of the womb, my last? I could be resting in peace right now, asleep forever, feeling no pain." Feeling no pain. And sometimes when you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, that's just what you want, right? I just want the pain to stop. I don't want this to happen anymore. And but you face each day one little step of faithfulness at a time. And, you know, don't look past the little thing that you can do today for some big thing that is off in the future. You know, sometimes we look at our life as like these five big decisions. You know, who we're going to marry, where we're going to live, like what job we're going to have, where am I going to go to college, and am I going to have kids? Are we going to have kids? You know, and those are like, once we figure those out, our life is set, right? That's kind of what we think. But really, when you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, it's each little decision. You just put one foot in front of the other, and you're faithful with a small thing. And over time, as you're faithful with small things, it weaves this beautiful tapestry of faithfulness that you see looking back, but you can't see it in the moment. And so I want to encourage you that you can be faithful now, even if you're feeling as Job is right in these verses. Because when you are, compare that to Job 42, verse 17. This is the last verse that was written about Job's life. It says, "So Job died old and full of days." Old and full of days. Job was faithful to stick through the hard times, and he died full of days. That phrase, "full of days," it means a rich and full life that ends well. A rich and full life that ends well. And honestly, that's kind of what we want. Something of that nature to say on our gravestone, right? Like a rich and full life that it ended well. Like he did a good job. He did a good job. Because it's not how you begin something, but it's how you end it. It's how you end it. You don't have to feel guilty on how you've done or how you've started. I came here to tell you that you can finish well. That you can finish well. You can be faithful right now in whatever you're going through, and you can end well. A full life that ends well. It's the same thing, that phrase, old and full of days, is said about Abraham in Genesis 25, Isaac in Genesis 35, and when King David died in 1 Chronicles 29. We all want to be faithful. We all want to be faithful. We can say that, right? No regrets. Because as the poet John Greenleaf Whittier put it, "For of all sad words of tongue or pen, the saddest are these, it might have been." It might have been. The what if. The what if. And we don't want to have any what ifs in our life, right? We don't want to have a lot of those. And today, if you're here and you have some what ifs, I'm going to tell you that you don't have to be defined by those what ifs. You can be defined by your faithfulness from this point forward, by doing what God has called you in the small things. And if you're good doing faithful things, faithful works in the small things, God is going to give you more and more. And pretty soon, you will look back and you will see that God is faithful as you were faithful as well. And sometimes following God by being faithful is kind of how ships used to navigate. And what basically, if they came up to a channel at nighttime especially, there'd be these buoys or these markers, and they would put like lights on them. And so as the ship would come up to that channel, they'd see the marker off in the distance. And so they'd set their course, and they would just go to that point. And then as they got closer to that point, then they saw the next marker off in the distance. And so then they would adjust course, and they would go there. Right? And that's sometimes what it is like following God. He's put something in your heart. He's saying, go down this path. And you start going down that path. You see that marker off in the distance. But then the darkness comes, the fog rolls in, the storm comes, and it seems like you're on the wrong path, that this is not the course that God has for you. But as you are faithful to go through that storm, you'll get to the other side. Not only will you get to the other side, you'll get to the next marker, and you'll have a future. You'll find that God has purpose in your life. He has purpose for the pain that you're going through. He has purpose in you being faithful. You can be faithful. It's been said, don't dig up in doubt what you planted in faith. Don't dig up in doubt what you've planted in faith. That's so easy to do, to be honest. So easy to do. We plant a seed, whatever, like I said, whatever God has called you to do, you plant that seed, believing great things, right? But it's hard to see beyond the seed to the plant that will grow from that. And it's even harder when all we see sprouting up are weeds, right? And at that point, it's easy for me, it's easy for all of us to just dig that up, to dig that up. Like, that didn't work, that was a mistake. But I'm here to tell you, don't dig up in doubt what you sowed in faith. Don't dig up in doubt what you sowed in faith. Well, last point here, point number three, you can be faithful because God is faithful. We can be faithful because God is faithful. And I am so thankful that God's faithfulness has nothing to do with me, that he remains faithful regardless of whether I'm faithful or I'm unfaithful. And I'm so thankful for that. We see that in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands. Paul puts it a different way in Philippians 1, verse 6. He says, being confident of this very thing, that he has begun a good work in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So what's that saying? God's not going to give up on you. He doesn't have any incomplete projects, and you can be faithful because God is faithful to you. God is faithful to you. Well, God's faithfulness, it starts and ends with Jesus. It starts and ends with Jesus. See that in Genesis 3, verse 15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. What's that talking about? This is right after the fall of Adam and Eve, right? They had paradise and they messed it up big time. So right after the fall, what is God saying? He's promising Jesus. He's promising Jesus. He's like, I got a way out, guys. I got a way out. What he's saying here, you will bruise his heel. He's talking to the serpent, to the enemy. And he's saying, you're going to bruise Jesus on the cross. And Jesus was bruised and beaten, right? And he died. But I'm so thankful that Jesus didn't die and stay dead. He rose again on the third day, right? He kicked death in the face, right? And that's what he said, you shall bruise your head. He kicked death in the head. And I'm here to tell you, you don't have to worry about yesterday or that your faith wavered. You don't have to live in the past. You see, Job's faith even wavered as he tried to understand what was going on. Peter's faith failed him three times. Three times he denied Jesus. But they weren't defined by that. It's not because faithfulness. It's not if you've given up when you shouldn't or you question what's happening. Faithfulness, and if I could put faithfulness in one little bullet point, I would say it's showing up again even after you failed. It's not looking behind but to what's ahead. What you believe in faith lies ahead. And I've experienced this in my life. There wasn't too long ago that Katie and I were going through some marriage difficulties. I'm gonna call it what it was. It was hell on earth. We hated it. Hated each other. And we hated it. But we reached out to this couple in our church that we liked their marriage, you know, and I was like, I want my marriage to be like that. And so we reached out to them, and they kind of gave us actually insulting advice. They were like, okay, well, the first thing you need to do is get up tomorrow morning, and then you need to pray together and read God's word. And I was like, and what else? And they're like, no, that's where you need to start. And I was like, you don't know what she's done. And she was like, you don't know what he's done, right? But we did. We did. And that first day, gritted teeth and all that hatred, we just, we ground through it and nothing happened. Nothing happened that first day. But over time, those feelings changed. And I'm here to tell you that the feelings are fickle. You don't believe your feelings. Those feelings changed. Our marriage isn't perfect, but those feelings changed. Hello, we have a third child because those feelings changed, right? You can take heart knowing that God is faithful, and you can begin again even now. Today, you can put your foot down and say, no more. No more. From this day forward, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be faithful. Let's pray. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your faithfulness even when we are not faithful, that we can begin again even now, that we have the power to go through struggles, to go through pain, that you don't give up, and we're not going to either. We look to your promises, Jesus. We can and we will look up with eyes of faith. Amen. Let's stand and worship.
Wow, that was incredible. Such good truth. We just wanted to say thank you so much for joining us online.
If at any point you made a decision to follow Christ during that teaching, first of all, congratulations. And second, we would love to know about it. You can click the Know God button. It's going to pull up a form. We're not going to send you any junk mail or Tupperware or anything like that. But we would love to send you some helpful resources in walking with God. It's going to include a Bible, a letter from Pastor Levi, and a few other things as well.
And let's be honest. Everybody's got a story. You have one. And on this website, on the bottom of the page, there's a little button that says share your story. You can use that as a way to just tell us about how God has used the ministry of Fresh Life to impact your life. Those stories are like lifeblood for our staff, for our team, for everybody, because it just shows how God is using everything that we're doing, everything that he's doing through this church to impact people's lives. In the same light, yeah. If you wanted to support the ministry through giving, you can do that as well. At the top of the website, there's a button that says give. You can support financially the work that God is doing through the church.
Hey, thanks again for watching. We hope to see you back here next weekend.